Alongside Joe Giglio, I'm Joe Ovias. The ACC finally did the thing. They're moving on from divisions in football to a 3-5-5 scheduling model. What does that mean for primary partners? When does it start? How long is it going to go? What's the intended effect of this? Also in the NBA, there's drama, you know? NBA Twitter beefs are really what keep the sports world going in the summer months, man. And we appreciate that for them. We appreciate that from them. Let's log on to the internet, shall we? What's Trending is brought to you by Geico. You got a number of ways that you can save on car insurance. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Go online to geico.com or stop by the Geico office nearest you. Let's get it.
Number five.
Well, let's start this way, Joe. It's never too late, part one. Mark Appel was the number one pick in the 2012 MLB draft. He decided to go to Stanford instead. The very next year, to go back to Stanford. The very next year, he's the number one pick of the Houston Astros in 2013. That was 2013, Joe. He still hasn't made his major league debut. But on Saturday, Saturday, the Philadelphia Phillies called up Appel from their AAA team. So 30 years old, he will be a relief pitcher. So we'll see what happens. But he's 30. Twice was the number one overall pick. You like to say goaltending is voodoo.
It is.
Drafting pitchers for Major League Baseball.
Yeah, man.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a great story over the weekend. He had some really great comments over the weekend on Twitter as well. Part two of that would be Raleigh's John Wall has played 72 games, only 72 games in the past 4 years, two complete NBA seasons where he hasn't played at all, working on a buyout with the Houston Rockets, and he is expected to sign with the Los Angeles Clippers. Bust out the Clippers gear, Joe. Get
is
back on the bandwagon.
Are people back on?
Get back on. Because that second unit could be something with Wall, assuming he'll have some fresh legs, leading the way.
Yeah, that's just how many games has he played in the last?
72 in four total seasons.
That's, look, injuries.
Including two seasons where he didn't play at all. Now, keep in mind, this year he didn't play mostly because the Rockets were trying to protect his trade value. I.e., they didn't want to go out there but not be invested in the team and hurting his trade value. Obviously, they couldn't make it work. So he'll take a buyout from them and end up signing with the Clippers. That's the expected deal for Raleigh's John Wall, who is 31 years old.
These things.
You're 30s, Joe. Life starts at 30, Joe.
This is now two days.
It's never too late, Joe.
This is 2 days in a row where you have had these moments where you're realizing, wait a minute, Kyrie's 31?
Yeah.
Oh, no. John Wall's 31? And you're like, wait a minute, weren't these guys just getting recruited here locally?
Yes.
Yeah, back in 2009.
Yes.
Okay, back in 2009. And the Harrison Barnes recruitment.
Wait, that wasn't last week?
No, it wasn't.
It was just a recruiting cycle ago.
Remember, Coach K was done when all those things were going on. Anyway, we actually talked about that in a recent episode of Brief History of Triangle Sports. That one featured Bomani Jones, who was in the middle of all that recruitment drama. You can check that out wherever you get your podcast. Next up.
If you have something to say about tonight's discussion, follow me on Twitter at WRALLena. Have a great night.
This is still the number four button?
This is still the number four button.
When Rare gets back, we're going to have to explain where the number four is and why when you hit the number four button, we get Lena.
He should explain it. They're his buttons.
Whew.
I'm a sub.
Look, Dennis, you're hitting the button you're supposed to hit, and we get Lena closing out a segment on WRL. I'm so confused. Anyway, look, if it gets Lena more Twitter followers, I'm in.
Hey,
shout out to Lena. So, you're one of the more popular motorsports in the world right now. Man, F1 can't do anything wrong, right? They got new investors. They just knocked out a new 3-year agreement with ABC ESPN last week. Life is good if you're F1. Well, it was. Now they're in drama because an old podcast from November featuring one of their drivers, 3-time world champ Nelson Piquet, resurfaced this week where he called Lewis Hamilton something that translates into a very bad slur here in the United States. Lewis Hamilton, once this came out, tweeted this morning, It's more than language. These archaic mindsets need to change and have no place in our sport. I've been surrounded by these attitudes and targeted my whole life. There's been plenty of time to learn. Time has come for action. He also retweeted somebody who had said, "What if Lewis Hamilton just tweeted, 'Who the blank is Nelson Piquet?'" and then closed Twitter. Hamilton simply retweeted that and added, "Imagine." So Lewis Hamilton clearly upset. Now, Julia, what do you think the governing body of a very popular motorsport should do if you come to find out that one of your drivers called another one of your drivers something you cannot call somebody?
Probably should be some discipline involved there.
You'd think, right? So this is from Formula One's official Twitter account. "Discriminatory or racist language is unacceptable in any form and has no part in society. Lewis is an incredible ambassador for our sport and deserves respect. His tireless efforts to increase diversity and inclusion are a lesson to many and something we are committed to at F1." Okay. You don't want to call it the driver. You want to add any sort of disciplinary action to what the driver said about Lewis Hamilton? Okay. Then the Fédération Internationale d'Automobile, that's the F1 sanctioning body, they tweeted out, "The FIA strongly condemns any racist or discriminatory language and behavior which has no place in sport or wider society. We express our solidarity with Lewis Hamilton and fully support his commitment to equality, diversity, and inclusion in motorsport." Okay? And then Mercedes, which is Lewis Hamilton's team, tweeted this out, "We condemn in the strongest terms any use of racist or discriminatory language of any kind. Lewis has spearheaded our sport's efforts to combat racism, and he truly is a champion of diversity on and off the track. Together, we share a vision for a diverse and inclusive motorsport, and this incident underlines the fundamental importance of continuing to strive for a brighter future." I've looked. I have not seen any sort of disciplinary action for the driver who said this about Lewis Hamilton in a podcast. So what are we doing here exactly? What are we doing here? No disciplinary. You can say all the things that you want, but come on.
You lost me at diversity in motorsports there, Joe.
Good point. So this is all empty words. Now, it's important to note that F1 is backed by what kind of money, Joe?
Oh, all kinds of diverse funds, right?
The same kind of money that's
Saudi.
It's also the same kind of money that's backing the LIV Tour.
Oh, okay.
This is an important angle to understand. F1 doesn't seem like they're going to do anything to... What's the guy's name again? Don't pretend like I know exactly what's going on in F1 all the time. I know it's very popular right now, but Nelson Piquet, okay? This is an example of why the LIV Golf Tour is a problem and who you're associating yourself with, right? They don't care about growing cultures and diversities and everything else. They care about money, straight up money, and then using the sports to help soften the images of these countries that are backing these sports leagues, or in this case, F1. LIV Golf is in the same way. So if you think that Phil Mickelson, this is just further proof that if you think Phil Mickelson's angle of, well, I really think that LIV Golf is here to help grow the game globally and use it as a force for good, well, you're getting an example right now in F1 where it's really not about being a force for good, because if it was about being a force for good, there would be consequences for calling a fellow driver something you cannot call them. So that's where we are in sports washing today. Next up.
Number three.
Need a sounder for that.
Yeah, I was going to say, new production, sports washing today.
All right, I think there are certain rules that maybe you outlined to me when I started radio. Don't swear, obviously.
That's a big one.
Don't say anything stupid about advertisers, the other.
Yeah.
I should probably not
encourage... That's a key one.
I should probably not encourage people to change the channel either, right?
No, we don't do that.
But...
We want you listening to 99.9 The Fan all day.
But...
Yeah.
Perhaps you'll want to get in front of a computer while listening to 99.9 The Fan, because history could be being made in Wimbledon right now. Serena Williams, you're either going to see her last win at Wimbledon or you're going to see her final match. She's in the third set right now. It's tied 5-5 with Harmony Tan.
Mm.
And look, Serena is
inarguably the greatest women's tennis player of all time, arguably the greatest tennis player period of all time, 23 Grand Slam titles. She's been just magnificent every surface, but Wimbledon in particular. This really could be the end for her. 40 years old. She had to retire in the first round last year at Wimbledon. She hasn't played since then. Injuries, everything else catching up to her. But here she is. It's 5-5 in the third set right now.
Excellent. Next up, please listen to the radio. Don't go watch
it. I said you can put it on your computer. You see what I did there?
I see what you did there.
If I was like on my first day on radio, I'd say, run and go watch. But no, I pivoted.
You know what? You did a good job.
Thank you.
You did a good job.
And I didn't swear. And I didn't say anything about the appetizer.
Good for you. You're learning.
That was a triple play, T.O.B.
You're learning, man. You're learning. To the NBA.
All grown up.
You're to the NBA where it never sleeps. The drama never sleeps in the NBA, man. Something as simple as Kyrie Irving exercising a $37 million option for this upcoming season with the Brooklyn Nets can just be a simple news item. It's a headline on ESPN.com. It's across on the scroll on ESPN as you're watching First Take. But it's not as simple as that. We're dealing with Kyrie Irving, and Kyrie Irving likes to operate on a different level. He'll even tell you he operates on a different level. As he was getting ready to announce that he was going to re-up with the Brooklyn Nets, he had tweeted out some like weird cryptic stuff about like, I'm not a follower, you know, like normal people don't, you know, make the world go round, but true innovators go in a different direction and all this other stuff. You know, what did he tweet out? He tweeted a GIF from Shameless. I know who I am 22 hours ago, from 2 days ago. Find your tribe. It's a war outside. Do not sugarcoat what the blank is going on. Speak on everything you're seeing and whenever you're ready to unplug by. The truth versus the lie. This is all stuff coming from Kyrie, right?
I know.
All stuff coming from Kyrie.
It does sound like a fortune cookie that you're making up, though.
I mean, I got thoughts
like
on...
like a Mad Lib from Kyrie.
I got thoughts on guys like Kyrie because we all knew somebody in college like Kyrie. Like the one who reads the book. That he, you know, he was doing research paper or whatever, and it like opened up his world. Mm-hmm. Or he got in with a group of stoners, and they just started thinking about life differently because the shrooms hit different out there at Dorothea Dix. Like, I don't know, man. I don't know. But that's what Kyrie sounds like to me. We all knew the guy who went like full macro dosing and just saw the world in a different way. Okay? So, Stephen A. Smith decides to pop on Twitter today.
Oh, no.
And put Kyrie on blast for a guy who talks about not being a follower, you know, not being this normal guy. He surely did something that seems pretty damn normal.
Oh, Kyrie Irving, you opted in after all. Took that money, didn't you? 1 year deal, y'all. 1 year, $36.9 million. Exercises his player option. So what does that mean? To y'all, it means Kyrie's going to be a Brooklyn Net. You know what it means to me? I guess he's a peon too, huh? So you got to go to work. You got to show up to work. You actually got to go to work. You got to go up there and earn that money. You got to show up to work. Because even if you plan on leaving the Brooklyn Nets, because we all know that Kyrie doesn't plan on staying in Brooklyn for the full year, he's offended, he's appalled, he's put back by the fact that the Brooklyn Nets actually said you have to show up to earn your money. We know that offends him. So you're thinking, hey, guess what? I'm going to get the hell up out of here. Philly somewhere, they willing to give me a 3-year guaranteed deal. The Clippers could get their hands on me. They want me. Maybe I could get to the Los Angeles Clippers. Who knows? Maybe somehow, some way, the Los Angeles Lakers will be able to work out a sign and trade. Guess what, Kyrie? No matter what options you may think you have down the road, it all starts with you having to show up to work first.
So that's Stephen A. Smith.
He had that one in the clip.
Oh, he was ready for it, man. He was ready for it.
The peon was a throwback to the initial media availability that Kyrie had this year when he referred to all the media members as peons.
Mm-hmm. So Kyrie Irving sees this and he responds on Twitter and he says, "You're going to have to explain yourself to people in your generation. I am not around many 50-plus-year-olds that speak and act like you do. So this is new for me, but I am sure my father and my uncles can meet you on your level better than I can. We know you, Stephen." Like, what? I love the NBA, man. The NBA is great. The drama never stops. And you want to know why Stephen A. Smith makes the money that he makes? Because sometimes people wonder, like, how in the world did Stephen A. Smith get that contract from ESPN? One, he never stops working. So that's number one. Number two, every time he shows up on a screen, it is pure entertainment, man. Pure entertainment. Stephen A. is the best. Next up.
The number one story of the day.
We're number one. We're number one.
So it finally happened. The ACC made it official. They're scrapping divisions. No more Atlantic, no more Coastal Division after this upcoming football season. Starting in 2023, they're going to a 3-5-5 scheduling model. What does that mean? It means that every team in the ACC will get three primary partners, and then they will cycle through everybody else 5-5, once at home, once on the road, in a four-year span. So, we'll use NC State as the example right now. NC State's primary partners will be North Carolina, which makes sense. Duke, back in the rotation. So, from 2023 through 2026, NC State and Duke will play two sets of home and home. That's awesome. Well, who's the third? It's Wake, right? NC State and Wake have been playing forever. No. NC State and Clemson will have the primary partner role, which means, again, through 2023 through 2026, NC State and Clemson will play two sets of home-and-home games, which leaves Wake Forest out in the 5-5 model. So over that four-year stretch, NC State and Clemson will play one game at Carter-Finley Stadium and one game at BB&T Field. That's a lot. Now, it's not every year, but it's a lot better than what NC State and Duke had gone through, where they had not played over a six-year stretch. That's not fun for everybody. North Carolina and Wake Forest didn't play, so they actually scheduled non-conference conference games, which obviously we will not be going back to. Jaleo, this is a model that you proposed to John Swofford years ago at an ACC kickoff, and a lot of people were married to the division model because of the opportunities that we saw in the Coastal Division. They were obviously not hell-bent on changing that, where in the Atlantic was a little bit different. But hey, man, TV, college football playoff, all that stuff changes the equation, and here we are.
Yeah, this is a big step for the ACC. This is a smart step for the ACC. This is also the ACC giving away the game. That, yes, while they can come out and publicly say, we're against the expansion of the college football playoff, you're only doing this to position yourself for the college football playoff. Because remember, the one year they did it, and now Notre Dame was included that year, so our sample size is small, granted. But the year they did it, they had two teams in the college football playoff. They have an eye on this down the road. They also have an eye on diversifying the schedule and getting these teams through frequently. When Jim Phillips and other ADs say to us, oh, it's about the experience and the opportunity for the blank athletes, it makes me cringe sometimes. But truly, This is one of those examples where if the players are saying to you, you know, if you're from Syracuse, for example, you're like, hey, man, I'm in a league with teams from Miami and Atlanta, and I'm going to be in school for maybe even 5 years, and I'm never once going to Miami or Atlanta.
Yeah.
It never made any sense. And this isn't about Coastal being easier than the Atlantic. It is about why on earth would you even consider yourself compatriots if you never play each other? NC State and Duke went from 2013 until the pandemic in 2020 without playing a football game. How? Why? And quite frankly, this news today where NC State will now be playing Duke for these 4 years, this is a four-year block. Hats off to the ACC for using the word primary and not permanent.
Yes.
Give them credit for that, number one. Number two, look, there's only a certain number of games you had to preserve.
Mm-hmm.
Carolina Duke, Carolina State, Virginia Virginia Tech, Miami Florida State, Clemson Florida State. Everything else? News for you.
Yeah.
I got news for you.
Yeah, did you really need to keep NC State in Wake Forest?
Virginia Carolina, you did.
Did you?
I think, given the history between those two schools, they...
Well, then why not the same oldest thing with Wake Forest and NC State?
And that's the only nit I will pick with them today.
Or Miami Virginia Tech, which they blew up.
Miami Virginia Tech, they're still going to play twice every 4 years. I mean...
You asked the question open-ended. What really needs to be preserved?
Right.
Okay? I think sometimes we can be overly dismissive over what really needs to be preserved. But we tend to forget that college football has always been built on regional play, things that matter to us locally. And we get further and further away from that every single year thanks to the college football playoff. Now, I understand why, but the further we get away from that regionality, you almost start to think, well, what are we doing here? Why do we watch these games? Why do we find college football enjoyable? Well, you're taking that away for a good chunk of people here locally if you're stripping away NC State and Wake Forest. Does Virginia and North Carolina, do they still need to play? Yes. But I can make the argument that NC State and Wake Forest is just as meaningful.
It doesn't have to be either or.
Well, why wasn't it either or? As a guy,
I reached out today to Boo Corrigan over at NC State. I did not receive an answer as to why NC State and Wake Forest aren't playing as primary partners. I don't know the answer to you. I would say this to you. Nothing happens by accident.
Yes.
Okay? I think Clemson wanted to play NC State. I think they wanted that game to continue.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever Clemson wants, Clemson's going to get, and deservedly so.
Sure.
Because they've dragged the carcass of this conference through the last 6, 7, 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I got no problem with that. I heard what Bubba Cunningham said, but I imagine there was a preference list or there was something that said, hey, this is the game I really care about.
Yes.
Now, you can't get all of the games you care about.
Mm-hmm.
So, if NC State had prioritized Carolina, I get it. Maybe NC State prioritized Clemson. Have you thought about that?
Well, put a little
maybe they did.
Put a little respect. Put a little respect in the Textile Bowl.
Well, there's that, but also, here's a scenario for you. Mm-hmm. What if NC State and Clemson finish 1-2 this year, and then all of a sudden they don't play next year?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't we all be roasting the ACC by, oh my God,
yeah.
You know, particularly given some of the games they've had since 2016, you're going to sit here and go, wait a second, NC State's got the second most wins and they're not even playing the best team anymore?
Well, let's put this on a more NC State misery level, shall we?
This is actually a good thing for NC State.
But no, this is the question that I have to ask for people regarding NC State and Clemson. Would you rather lose in expected fashion to Clemson? Or would you rather lose in an emotionally damaging, in some sort of emotionally damaging way to Wake Forest? Plus, I also would point out that Wake Forest can still find ways to screw NC State's season in this model, in a year in which they don't play. Clemson could do that.
They could play in the ACC championship
Clemson
game.
Doesn't have to beat you to ruin your season. No. Clemson could not beat somebody that screws you. Just saying.
Right.
So, State fans, if you're worried about missing out on that emotional damage that Wake Forest provides for you on a consistent basis, going all the way back to those Phillip Rivers years where they go there ahead of the Ohio State game and lose, or Russell Wilson having an interception-free streak end in Winston-Salem, or what we saw last year in the last couple years with, oh, we didn't have the right camera angles for a goal line replay. Darn you, Wake Forest! Right? They can still find a way, I'm confident. Like, hey, Wake, we need you to beat this team to help us out. Sorry, guys. Not going to do that for you today.
Now, we should probably point out one of the important parts of this 2022 season for NC State.
Yeah.
This is the COVID year, basically, where you got everybody back.
I know.
You probably don't want to look at the 23 schedule or roster
right now.
It's
all about this year, man.
They are all in, to use Clemson's terminology, on this season, and they need to be.
2023 is...
We've seen Dave's down years. We've seen them. You don't, and I don't think he'll go back to that, but it's going to be one of those basement years.
The ACC has to move forward, make it a better television product, and the scheduling model clearly does that. Another bit of ACC news that's coming from Brian Murphy, our WREL sports investigative reporter. Brian's wonky, man. Like, he's a wonk. He is pouring over state budgets and finding things. According to Brian, looking through the latest budget proposal that was released this evening, North Carolina would give the ACC $15 million to move its headquarters to Charlotte for at least the next 15 years under a Republican budget proposal. Again, that was released today. The legislation is a compromise between the House and Senate lawmakers. It must still pass each chamber and be signed by Governor Roy Cooper. But this move is in relation to the ACC looking to move out of Greensboro. Right now, the ACC is looking at 3 locations for their offices. Greensboro, they could stay there. with some concessions. Charlotte, which makes a lot of sense because most things related to the ACC happen in Charlotte now, and it's centrally located with this new ACC. Or Orlando, Florida. Now, there's some personal connections between the ACC, consultants that are working on this, and a former sports commission person that was in North Carolina, which is now down in Orlando. And there's this Lake Nona project in Orlando that Disney has been working on that would help house employees and everything else, right? Even though Orlando is not ACC country whatsoever, it is all part of the Disney family, and the ACC is in bed with ESPN, etc. Now, the simple solution here is to just go remote. The Pac-12 did this. I'm not quite sure why you need an ACC office in this day and age, but there are some folks that prefer you to come into the office. Got it. Which then gets back to the obvious solution, Charlotte. And if Orlando, Julia, was all just a leverage play to get some money out of North Carolina, some concessions out of North Carolina, this would certainly be it, getting $15 million to move the headquarters. Now, there are some caveats here. You got to stay for 15 years. There's got to be some ACC tournaments that take place in North Carolina, both in Charlotte and Greensboro. But yeah, if you're getting some money from the state, sweeten the deal for the ACC, and that's one thing that Jim Phillips, the commissioner, has been trying to do.
First of all, great work by Brian Murphy, our new colleague here at WRAL, first of all. Second of all, this is the logical conclusion of this saga, if you will.
Yes. It's been going on way too long. It's one that I find unnecessary. And I've had to explain this to people at the ACC offices, that in the grand scheme of things, I don't care. But you know when you start to get me to care? When the messaging that comes out of this doesn't make any sense.
And in terms of?
Well, in terms of what you're looking for, in terms of what this means, in terms of money being spent. Like, they've got, what, two consultant firms working on this?
Yes, they were linked on the call that I was invited to.
I mean, Julio, you and I, this is yet another reminder that you and I are in the wrong line of work.
Yes.
I like what I do. You like what you do. Dennis, I know you like what you do, but I feel like the real money is being made as a consultant, where they just give you a wad of cash. What should we do? We're going to tell you the thing that you know you should do. Are you paying these consultants to just hear what you want to hear? Are you paying these consultants to make it seem like you really did your due diligence and all they're doing is spitting back to you for $500,000 or whatever the fee is? I'm sure I'm lowballing it, and this is why I'm not a consultant.
Yes.
Right? Like, you know, I got an idea. Why don't you move to Charlotte? That's a great idea, consultant firm. Why should we do that? Oh, because you already do stuff there. There's an airport there. It's centrally located. They got some great office space by the, they got an arena that you can do the tournament from. They got a football stadium that you do your championship games from. It just makes a lot of sense. You know, we hadn't thought of it that way. Here's $2 million. I'm the sucker. I'm the idiot. I should be a consultant. Then I can retire. Anyway.
Well, you should retire and become a consultant. Nah, that's what they do.
No. It's like when the when they redid the ACC logo.
Oh, the egg?
and they gave you like all these explanations as to, well, you know, the ACC font explains that it's tilted.
The power of looking forward.
Right, it's tilted to the right, that it's looking forward. However, the ACC logo also recognizes its past. You mean you just took the Big East logo and you made it blue and silver. That's all you did. But that probably cost them another $3 million. I'm in the wrong line of work. It's not too late. Maybe I can pivot. We can do a O-O-O-V-S and Jillio Consultant Services.